Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips and the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th day of August, Anno Domini 2019, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benray.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. And hey, we actually have two big news things. Steve's putting one up on the site right now. We are going to have a party. Yes, our 30th anniversary is the 3rd of September, but that's a Tuesday. So the Saturday before, the 31st of August, we will be having a party. And you, yes, actual you, are invited. All you have to do is RSVP to RSVP at jazz901.org, so we know how much cake and refreshments and stuff to order. And on that Saturday, from noon to 2, we will be having a party right here at the station. So we'd love to have you all come down. It is our 30th anniversary. Many of you have been with us for all of that time, if not most of that time. So please, RSVP at jazz901.org. That's the email address, RSVP at jazz901.org. And let them know you're coming, and we'll see you on the 31st. It's going to be a party. It's going to be epic.
I haven't RSVP'd yet.
What? Well,
when do I got to do it by?
The sooner the faster. Sooner, oh, look. I printed this on label paper.
Your wife's not going to appreciate that.
Well, she's the one who left it in there.
That means the labels are on regular paper, right?
That's certainly not an impossibility. So please, RSVP. We'd love to see you at the party.
It is free to come. We just want to know how many people are going to be here.
Right. So RSVP as soon as possible, so that we can have some sort of account, so we have enough cake and enough refreshments for everybody.
Too bad. You know how we keep claiming, you know, your famous saying there, as somebody would say,
right?
You know, that she would show up.
Right.
But we wouldn't know how to.
So if you know Francis.
Right. If you know Francis. Or
you are Francis.
And you can prove you're Francis. I don't know how you do that, but.
Yeah.
All right.
Just flashed in my mind.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. To the news. Microsoft last week struck the word cornerstone from its annual Form 10-K filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission when describing Windows 10, a change from 4 years of honoring the operating system. In its 2018 10-K filing, Microsoft said Windows 10 is the cornerstone of our ambition, providing a foundation for the secure, modern workplace and designed to foster innovation through rich and consistent experiences across the range of existing devices and entirely new device categories. This year's 10-K, which appeared on the SEC site Thursday, omits not only the word cornerstone, but much else besides. Instead of something along the lines of the 2018 statement touting Windows 10 place of pride, Microsoft substituted this sentence: "We are bringing Office, Windows, and devices together for enhanced and more cohesive customer experience." Nothing about cornerstones, nothing about Windows 10 specifically in that paragraph, or actually sentence. Instead, in its 2019 10-K, Microsoft implied that the new foundation of its More Personal Computing efforts, that's their new name, More Personal Computing efforts, would be led by Microsoft 365, which is the Uber suite sold by subscription that includes Windows 10, Office 365, and management tools. Not that Windows 10 was completely ignored. In the following paragraph, Microsoft said the operating system played a critical role in fueling our cloud business and Microsoft 365 strategy. The Cornerstone removal reflects Windows' reduced part in Microsoft's theater of revenue. In fiscal year 2019, which ended June 30th, Windows revenue rose by 4% over the year before period. Not only was that lower than in fiscal 2018, when Windows revenue climbed 5%, but the growth rate was dwarfed by other components. Server products and cloud services revenue, for example, increased by 25% in 2019. Azure revenue, which is part of their cloud services, leaped by 91% all by itself. Windows 10 is not perfect. I hope you were sitting down. Update quality is just one of its many flaws, and any hint that Microsoft has dropped Windows to a lower priority tells customers that their concerns are peripheral as well. Now, we know you're going to have a lot to say about that. You can start off by joining us in the forum. If you scroll down, if you go to soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. This week it's under the first forum, the show discussion, and the thing is 10 August 19, that Windows subscription is coming. We've been talking about this for the longest time, and people have been laughing at us about it. But the fact is, one thing Microsoft can't, no company can afford to do, is lie to their investors. So what they put in that Form 10-K had darn well better be the truth. And for years, they've been saying they want to move to a subscription model for Windows 10. And now we see they're bundling Windows 10, Office 365, and some management tools together. So what do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
That's where it just leads to more credence to go to Chrome.
Go to Chrome, go to Linux, go to a Mac, whatever, until Apple starts doing the same thing. But I'll tell you,
they just have higher priced computers.
They just have higher priced.
Yeah, they just already got it built in.
If you want to save money, 99% of people can live with a Chromebook and never know the difference and never care and never miss out on doing anything.
Huh? We've started seeing people that have gotten tablets, even Chromebooks, as sort of a secondary device.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly it's morphed into their primary device and they never touch their computer much at all.
Well, I had a friend at work. He was sitting there and he went ahead and picked up a Chromebook. And he says, well, wait a minute, though. But I got to be able to do some Word documents. I go, yeah? Yeah, well, how do I get Windows on there? I go, you don't. Or Word. I go, you don't. Why do you need Word? Well, I got to do some documents. I said, sorry? And I showed him. We put Google on there. He goes, yeah, but what if I want to do a spreadsheet? It's in there.
And if you really want to do Microsoft stuff, they have Office in the cloud you can use if you want to. If you want to pay, you can use it.
Well, and that's just it. The whole point of all of this is that if you want to do all of that stuff and pay more for it, then get yourself a Windows machine and buy the Office 365 subscription with Windows 10. Pay for everything every year. Or you can get a Chromebook and do it all for the one price of buying a Chromebook.
Yeah. And he goes, well, what's the catch? I go, you own the Chromebook. That's the catch. You don't have to worry about viruses. You don't have to worry. They're going to come back and pay me after I get into it, invested in it. I go, well, it's funny. I've got all photos and all my documents up there for umpteen years now, and they haven't come after for a penny.
That's right.
You pay by reading the ads on websites.
Yeah, that's right. You're already paying. Might as well get the benefit.
Yeah. He goes, this is too good to be true. I go, welcome to reality.
Yeah.
I said, this is the way it's going to go. I says, you know, Windows just keeps bricking machines. And that's what happened to one of his. It literally turned it into a brick. And he was fed up with it. That's it. I'm not putting any more money into it than that. And I told him about small Linux, or try one of those if you really
small Linux, Puppy
you
Linux.
Want to play along with that, or the other website for
Neverware.
Thank you, brain fart.
Yep,
and put it on there and turn it into a Chromebook.
Yep.
He goes, oh, I'm gonna have to look into this. He goes, that's well worth taking this computer, which is now a brick, and at least getting something out of it. Because he goes, yeah, it's a little old. It had, it's a Windows 8 machine, but to just get on the web and do that type of stuff, I go, there you go, Neverware.
Yeah.
All right.
For those of you who don't know, Neverware is a company that makes a product called Cloud Ready, and it essentially gives you a Chromebook. So you can put it on an older machine, and it still, you know, it still wants a decent amount of RAM. I mean, you, it's not going to go on a 512 meg machine or any of that stuff. That for that use Puppy Linux or damn small Linux. As long as you've got a couple of gig of RAM and a semi decent processor, the big thing you have to have is a network connection.
Most old Windows 7 and 8 machines will, you know, they have, say, 2 gig of memory.
They're perfect.
And, say, have the 500 gig hard drive. You know, it's, you're gold. You're golden. That old machine that's sitting down the corner, you can revitalize it and use it.
Yep.
And,
that's exactly right.
Get some life out of it. And have some fun learning something else.
Yep.
And, again, we can't stress enough. You don't get viruses, spyware, malware. And, oh, it's free. That's the biggie, folks, because Windows subscription, like Nick said, is coming.
It's coming.
It's just something that we've been predicting for quite a while, and now it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that with the mobile app stores, there's sort of the phrase has come out, the race to the bottom, where you have apps that are free or 99 cents or everyone's always looking for as cheap as they can get. But when you tell them the OS is free, the apps are free, they're afraid.
No, I get that.
They don't understand.
I do get that. But in this particular case, what Google is doing is putting you in their ecosystem instead of Apple's or Microsoft's.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still making hand over fist ad revenue and other kinds of revenue from stuff. And so it only for them, it makes sense to be able to you're still paying for the hardware. It's not like they're handing you a Chromebook. You still pay for the Chromebook, but it's like Linux. I don't pay for the operating system. I don't worry about licensing. If I want to throw it on an old laptop or desktop that I've got sitting around, I don't have to worry about buying a license and is it going to update properly it all just works. It just works every single day.
Or is the next update going to turn my machine into a brick?
There's a thing on Linux called Live Patch, so that unless if you turn it on, so unless you need to update the kernel itself, you don't ever reboot.
Oh.
And in fact, it all happens in the background. So you can say, I want, for example, I want all my security patches to be installed automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to think about it.
Well, no brainer.
Yeah. And Chromebooks, we've said this before, with a Chromebook, you never worry about rebooting. At any time an update comes along, you see a little up arrow down in the lower right section.
Yep.
And the next time you reboot your machine or you shut it down and then open it up tomorrow, it's the new operating system. It does not get easier than that.
Yeah, I had one this past week that I had to, I saw the little arrow there, and it's, okay, shutting it down for the evening anyways, no biggie. And I next morning, you know, I go to start the machine up, and there it is, the newer version.
I will say and this.
I didn't see, you know, any interruption. I mean, I was working on that machine for close to, I'd say about 4 hours.
Yeah. No, it all happens in the background.
Yeah. Nothing disrupted what I was doing and everything else.
I will say this. When you do a reboot, it takes a couple extra seconds to boot up. So instead of 8 seconds, it takes 10, sometimes 11.
It might even go to 12.
Might go to 12.
Even numbers.
To boot up. So, but generally speaking, it's not a big deal, and you don't even notice it's happening. I recommend Chromebooks for everybody. They're just less hassle.
Well, that's the other thing. Well, I was talking to this gentleman about, you know, his Chromebook and that, some other folks, and I was telling him how, you know, I've literally got thousands and thousands of photos up there. And but what are they charging you for that? I go, nothing. It's free. What? Yeah, but then they got your pictures. No. Don't worry about it. It's past, you know, they're not going to get in there and steal your pictures and everything else.
What are they going to do with it? Do they want a picture of the line at Ridge Donut? They can have it.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Any of my pictures up there, you know, if they want to look at them more, you know, have. But the cool thing is, though, and I was pointing out to them, is it doesn't matter whether I'm here on my phone. I can go over, and I told this one gentleman, I says, I can go over to your house.
Yep.
And log into my Google account and pull up all the photos and show them to you.
Yep.
Or if I need a document, we're going somewhere, and all of a sudden I need a copy of a document. I log into your computer and through my account, and I can print it to your printer.
Yep. Chromebooks, by the way, when you turn them on, they not only have all of the people you put on, you get in multiple accounts. By the way, for example, this Chromebook, I have an account, and my wife also has an account. But there's also a button that says guest access. So I could let Dave log on as a guest. It saves no information about him.
Yep.
So at no point is his username or password saved on my machine. None of his credentials are saved on my machine. I cannot, at a later point, hack into Dave's accounts using that machine.
And what's also nice is, you know, most folks have the Android phones. Right. Now with the Chromebook, you can tether it to it, and no matter where you are, you've got a hotspot. And you can log in and grab whatever you need.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't get any easier than that, folks. I say, the only thing, and somebody else was listening to the show, and they go, you got a good idea there. And what I'm talking about is on the next version of the Pixel phone.
Bigger battery.
Bigger battery. They go, that's such a simple idea. I go, yeah. But it makes sense. My kids are always, one guy was saying, you know, my kids are always complaining. Got to charge up his battery because, you know, they've been doing this or doing that, and their battery's running out. You know, and they're always fighting. Oh, I got to get it on the charger. My phone's going to die because they were watching a movie or doing this. And that's the problem. The battery lives don't last long enough.
I like that feature in some of the new, I want to say Samsung, because they have good TV commercials, where you can suck the charge out of another phone if you have a Wi-Fi charger.
Yeah.
Apples can do that with a wire.
Yeah.
I don't think they have the wireless sucking yet, but they can suck over a wire.
But we were talking about, you know, just the next Pixel 5. The biggest point, because phones are getting, like we said, you know, phones, whether it's Apple or any of them, don't have a lot to tout, you know, added features, do this or do that. So they got an extra camera or a better camera. Yeah, big deal. It's got a camera. They take better pictures than most folks' home cameras.
Right.
So a feature that will really sell a lot, and I truly believe this, is to make it a few millimeters bigger and give me a heck of a lot longer battery life. I mean, what better ad would be that, you know, you can go 2 days without charging?
Well, you'll be happy to know that Samsung is working on a new smartphone battery. Most smartphone batteries are 3,000, 3,500, 4,000 milliamps. This is a 6,000 milliamp battery.
Cool.
Now, we don't know what phones it's going to show up in. And honestly, I don't know that I want another Samsung phone ever.
Yeah, but if they do it, then the others are going to follow because they got to keep up with it. Because their phones have to last as long as anybody else's. And like I said, you can't go anywhere. So we were out to dinner last night. Again, you look over to most tables. And people, you know, if they're out there with a family, most of them are buried into their phones.
Yeah, that's sad.
But you know, they've forgotten how to talk to each other. They're all sitting there, boom, 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 boom.
Right. Well, there are several phones right now with 5,000 milliamp life batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Asus makes the Zenfone 6. Nubia makes the Red Magic 3. OnePlus has the 7 Pro. LG has the G8 ThinQ. But another 1,000 milliamps, it's hard to beat that.
Because like I said before, you don't see, when you go into the big stores now, you don't see the desktop computers anymore as much.
Right.
Maybe one or two if you're lucky. Right. Everything else is either tablet or laptop. And then most folks are even getting the bigger phones so they can just do everything right there.
Right.
But that's the way we're going. That cloud, throw it up to the cloud and bam, I got it there. And it doesn't matter where I am. I can, you know, like we were just talking about, print it or view it, do everything I want. There's not much that you can't.
I don't usually print things anymore.
Yeah, no.
Most of the printing is done by my wife with labels like that for the market. And then I print the news out because it's just easier at the show. Yeah. But that's really all I ever print anymore.
Yeah, the only thing, we've got, you know, laser printer now, for the most part, my wife does find a grave.
Right.
And that's about it. Otherwise, yeah, you can sit there and that's, again, what I like about Chrome. I can sit there and pull up a web page. Say I'm downstairs. All right, I shut it down. I go upstairs, open it up there, and there's that tab again. It's like, yep. Cool. All right, yep, all right. Follow the instructions, you know what I mean?
And if there's a picture or a document, I can bring it up on any one of my devices. I can email it to you for your devices. I mean, whatever, you know. I can do anything I wanted to do, and then I don't have to worry about printing it. I don't know who prints anymore.
Not a lot of folks. I mean,
whatever, but you know, that's it. I just don't see it very often.
Not unless it's something special.
Right.
Because most of the folks, wait a minute, I can quick pull it up here on my phone. And they'll sit there. Unless you need somebody that, you know, has a hard time reading smaller print. And either that, you can still zoom out on a lot of it.
Out.
Scroll side to side, turn your phone sideways and, you know, view it. But that's not a big deal. At least you could see it and find out the information that you need.
Right, right. And you know, we were even talking about this with Steve. He's filled his 32 gig iPad, and I don't much worry about that anymore because all my photos are up in Google Photo. All my documents are up in Google Docs, and I can get at any of them anywhere on the planet.
Yep.
And I don't need to fill up my device anymore. Yep. You know, even my phone, which has an awful lot of storage, I'm using very little of it.
Yeah, same with me.
You know, and so I was even thinking I my next phone, which isn't going to be for a while yet, but my next phone.
Don't say that. That's what happened to me.
I know. I get it.
And I'm still ticked about it because that original Pixel was a darn good phone.
Great phone. That's what I had.
It was paid for. I didn't want to buy another one.
Right.
But like we've said before, the stupid battery, you can't replace it unless I send it off. And it's not worth it. So I was forced to get the 3A.
Right. But the 3A is an awfully nice phone.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was just the principle of having to buy another phone.
I absolutely get that. I don't want to buy another phone either. So what I should say is I'm not planning on another phone.
There you go.
Right. But if I did, I don't know that I would need the 128 gig. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour. Member-supported Jazz 90.1. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. See you in a couple minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites.
Can we say we're now award-winning member-supported Jazz?
We are award-winning member-supported Jazz 90.1. It's a station just won an award at the Jazz Week.
And in 21 days,
yes,
the celebration starts.
Yes, a Sound Bites 30th anniversary party. And live broadcast, thank you very much, on the award-winning Jazz 90.1. We are, Jazz Week awarded us the best, what's the thing say?
Where'd it go? It's one of these windows. I'll just make a new one.
We're professionals, don't try this at home.
windows open on his laptop and can't find
Station of the Year.
Station of the Year. And so
we playing more than 40 hours a week of jazz.
Right, which we believe me do. Yeah. So we're award-winning station, and our 30th anniversary is coming up. On the 31st of August, from noon to 2 here at the station, we will be having a party, and 30th anniversary party at during our live broadcast. So it's free, but you do need to RSVP, mm-hmm. and the address to which you respond is rsvp@jazz901.org. And you do that, and we're going to have refreshments and cake and all kinds of things. So we'd really, really, really love to see you here. And all you have to do is RSVP and show up. It's pretty easy. While you're sending your little RSVP, we will read the news. We reported earlier this month that Apple had contractors listening to and grading Siri responses, just like everybody else, which in turn meant that those contractors heard private conversations from users. Now, Apple has been hit with its first class action lawsuit over this practice. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Northern California. The plaintiffs accuse Apple of unlawful and intentional recording of individuals' confidential communications without their consent. The lawsuit alleges that Apple has violated California's Invasion of Privacy Act, the Unfair Competition Law, the Consumers Legal Remedies Act, and the Declaratory Judgment Act, and as well as general mopery. The plaintiffs allege that Apple's terms and conditions made no reference to the fact that their recordings would be saved and listened to by Apple's employees, which is the first time anybody's ever read Apple's terms and conditions. They say that anyone who has owned a device with Siri since 2011 is affected by this lawsuit. The lawsuit claims at no point did plaintiffs consent to these unlawful recordings. Apple does not disclose that Siri devices record conversations that are not preceded by a wake phrase or gesture. Plaintiffs Lopez and AL therefore did not agree to be recorded by their Siri devices respectively. Moreover, Apple could not have obtained consent from plaintiff AL, a minor without an Apple account. The lawsuit also puts emphasis on Siri interactions being recorded due to accidental activations of the trigger phrase. In 2018, Apple CEO Tim Cook accused rivals of conducting surveillance, or Tim Apple if you prefer, and commented, "Not everyone sees it that way. The desire to put profits over privacy is nothing new." To which we give a hearty horse laugh. The plaintiffs are seeking unspecified damages and for Apple to be required to delete all Siri recordings. The earlier report explained that Apple contractors responsible for grading Siri responses, that's what they call it, grading the responses, regularly heard confidential medical information, drug deals, and recordings of couples having sex. Last week, Apple issued a new statement on the situation and said that it was conducting a thorough internal review of its Siri grading practices and suspending the program during the review. Once Siri grading is reinstated, which it will be, Apple says that users will be given the option to opt out. Are you still whispering sweet nothings to Siri? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Not surprisingly, there's also lawsuits against Amazon and Google.
Yeah, they're
Google.
All doing it.
And even more not surprisingly, they're from the same law firm. So they can see a huge paycheck coming.
I think there was one for Cortana too.
Yeah, Microsoft, Google, Amazon. Yeah,
that's my next story.
So yeah, they all do it. What has been found at least is that Apple's were much more anonymized.
Right.
What was the Belgian company that got into was it Amazon or Google? Were able to actually find the people that got recorded. Right. There was enough data in it that they could go find them and say, "Here, right. we have a recording of you."
The real problem with the Apple thing is that they were able to prove that the trigger phrase, which I won't say out loud because it'll just set off everybody's device, the trigger phrase was not said. So they're not, even Apple has said they're not entirely sure what happened.
Well, and sort of that's the point, is they need to train these things to do better.
Right.
And the only way to do that is by listening to them.
Right.
So would it,
and only humans can do that well.
Right. So would it be better? I think some of the uproar is it was contractors.
Right.
In fact, one of them was the contractors were in Ukraine.
Right.
Like that makes a difference. Would it be better if they were company employees or contractors? And is it buried somewhere in the terms and conditions that, you might get recorded, but
I have to say no, because this law firm who wants money actually read the entire terms and conditions.
Oh, you think?
I'm sure they're changed now, because one of the things the terms and conditions does say, as far as you know, because you've never read them, is that they're subject to change without notice. So
95%, I'd say almost 98% of the folks don't read terms and conditions. Like we were talking about that earlier, how they go ahead and put other stupid stuff in there. That
you will send us your firstborn male child.
There is one that if you read, you're actually reading this and give us a call, we'll pay you $1,000.
Right. They never got a call.
Never got a call. And that was up there for, I guess, a couple years.
Yeah.
And it was buried down in, you know, so you had to really read through it. But there it was, and they highlighted it. And if they had called, they would have gotten a $3,000.
I have an actual folder in my documents folder called EULAs, End User License Agreements, EULAs.
Mm-hmm.
And I capture all of them and read them. Are they boring as all heck? Yes. Are they
watching paint dry is more interesting. 99%
useless?
Yes.
And but there are a couple of times that I've read something and called a friend of mine who's a lawyer and then decided I'm not going to use this program because I do not agree with this.
Yeah. There have been issues with some of the social networks where some of it is just boilerplate legalese in the terms and conditions, but anything you post on that social network is owned by them, not you. And I've got a friend that just refuses to post anything because he's a writer and he owns his words.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree with that.
I heard, and we'll talk about this after, but
yeah,
another thing that that they're starting to nail all these young kids, you know, for. And I'll discuss
offline. That later.
But remind me.
Yeah.
But what it brought up is a lot of kids right now, because, you know, it's getting that time of year that they're getting ready to go back to school, you know, in college. And some of these kids that even graduated from college or say they're going into their senior years and they're applying for some jobs and all this. Because of some of the actions that they did during their college years and maybe even into the high school years, is coming back to bite them. Because, you know, they just sent it to this one person. But if that one person passed it on to somebody else or posted it, it goes out to the whole web, folks.
Or somebody else took a picture that you didn't even know got taken.
Yep. And bam, it's out there, and getting it off is not easy.
I have often said, I did stupid, dangerous, and illegal things as a teenager, but nobody had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark had a camera, but he was smart enough not to record some of that stuff. So that's just the way that works, you know. That's the way that works. But I'm telling you, these kids today think nothing of putting everything online.
They're sitting, taking selfies and all that other stuff, doing stupid stuff.
Well, the interesting thing is that eventually that will be the norm. And so as kids going into the workforce now have that problem. But the next generation, that will have been the norm. And so the kids will do the hiring are the ones that did stupid stuff when they were kids, too.
Well, right. It'll change. Yeah. But
it's not going to.
Right. And as you said, everyone did stupid things when they were kids, but there's no evidence.
Right. The other thing is,
has the statute of limitations expired yet?
On some of the things I did, no. So I'll let you think about what they might be, but that's neither here nor there. But here's the deal: years ago, when I was still
little Francesca's
working, that hurt. Back when I was still working, we wanted to put some videos up of stuff going on in the lobby of our building. And we were told we couldn't do it unless we got okays from all the people. because that's, you know, that's the way that has to work. So we put out a general thing. Nobody answered. So I asked a bunch of kids, you know, over time, I said, why didn't you respond to that? He says, we don't even understand what you were asking. You want to put my face on social media? Yes.
Yeah.
Why would I say no to that? Well, you have the right to say no to that. And we're legally bound to ask you.
Yeah. I knew a guy years ago that would go to public events, sporting events and stadiums and things like that, walk up to the news crews and specifically say, I refuse or, you know, invoke my right not to be on camera. So they'd have to lose all of the footage they shot because he was standing in the background.
Yeah. Photobombing everything.
He was just an a-hole.
right. Exactly.
Or you have to go through and blur it all out, which is probably a lot easier now.
Now it's easy. You just point to that face and say, find that face.
In one frame, and it does it for the whole thing. Probably.
Right. Exactly.
You used to have to do it frame by frame manually.
Right. And I knew somebody who did that for years.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you should be giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We do have this anniversary thing coming up. We've been doing this for 30 years.
It made me think about that. And, you know, the picture that he posted, it's like...
From our 25th anniversary.
Anniversary. In black and white, that's how old we are.
Didn't even have color film then.
Yeah, really. I hear they talk in movies now.
I've heard that. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I sat down one day. I was sitting down watching a movie. My daughter came by and said, well, she was little. She was like 8, 9 years old. She said, what's this? I said, I'm watching the movie. She said, what happened to the television?
Yeah.
Nothing. What do you mean? Well, there's no color. Well, the movie has no color. What? She said, I can't watch it. There's no color. As it turns out, she was quite immediately hooked because it was a Marx Brothers movie.
Oh.
And we sat and watched the whole thing. And she said, would have been better in color. Philistine, I don't care if you're 8 years old. Get out of my house.
Well, if it had been color film, they would have used color film.
Yes,
right?
They would have. Yes, they would have. And we would have seen that Harpo had a red wig on.
But as you brought up, you know, 30 years, I mean, to reflect back when we first started back with Mr. Smith.
Yep.
May he rest in peace. Him. Yeah, God, he was such a great soul.
He was.
And to reflect back on all the times and that we've been through, you know, as far as the computer world and the changes and everything else that we've, and our faithful listeners out there have seen us go through. And, you know, supplying you for all those Saturdays, come rain or shine, we were there and answering your computer questions. And you folks have been great here with us at Jazz 90.1 to keep us going strong right here on this station, which, again, I like to point out, we just got station, you know, recognition, but it's kind of a little bit more than that as far as my perspective, in that we are the only talk show on this station.
That's right.
And you got to think about that, folks. Rob went totally far to the other side and bringing in a talk show on a Saturday, no less, prime time, noon to two. He took a risk and you know, brought us over here to answer people's computer questions. And then it goes back to music.
Yep.
Where else in the U.S. would you find that?
Nowhere.
Nah, you're not going to. But you might find home brewed stations that pop up every so often. They might put out a podcast here or there. But we're here every Saturday.
And what Rob knew was that our audiences loved us and would miss us if we were not around.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was good enough to give us a home. And we appreciate that. And we'd love to have you come and join us for the anniversary.
It would really mean a lot. You know, literally, they cram this place. And he gets overwhelmed with the number of folks that want to come and see us and say hello. Because, like I say, 30 years. It's quite a few Saturdays.
It's more than a couple of Saturdays. Don't forget.
We're pushing 1,000 files in the podcast folder.
Yes, we are, and that's not even the whole thing.
Yeah, so if you have some of the older files, it'd be kind of nice to
take a look at how far we've gone, and if you've got some from before that for whatever reason. What I want to remind everybody is 30 years 50, when we started this show.
50 times, say, 30.
Well, but what I'm saying is when we started this show, we were 6 years away from Windows 95.
Yeah.
That's how long we've been on the air.
Yeah.
I remember one of our first slogans was, what's that big red switch on the side?
That's exactly right.
How many people can remember that big red switch on the side now?
We were getting DOS questions, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, Adlin, using Adlin and editing the config file and the booting and doing batch files.
Your config.sys and your autoexec.bat.
And then at the...
HiMem.sys.
HiMem.sys, baby. And I remember we would get questions about this mouse thing and how do you use it. And I hate it because I can't... And we would recommend people play Solitaire because it developed your mouse skills.
Yep.
Those were the days, man.
And putting memory chips in. Remember with the prongs? All the little prongs on both sides and trying to get them in the sockets without one bending underneath.
Yep.
As you're pushing it into the socket. Yep. On my old PC Junior.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. I pulled that out and there was a memory card and it was loaded and you had to populate it with all these memory sticks. And I think it got it up to a whole 128K.
128K, exactly.
128K I got it up to. It's like, whoa.
The first Mac had a program, came with a program called Mousing Around, and a cassette tape was the early user training.
Yep.
And it was a maze. You used your mouse to drag a mouse icon through a maze on the screen to practice how using the mouse. I just look called mousing around.
Yep.
and it said to time the bing, you hit play on the tape and it would bing, and then you click the start on the computer program to play the synchronize the tape recording to the tutorial.
Yeah,
I still have that somewhere.
Nothing you can play it on, but you have it.
But I thought it was really cool when we went from CGA to VGA.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a biggie. My PC Junior finally got a VGA monitor because before that, it was just CGA. You know, I had both an amber one and a green one over time.
Yep.
You just sat there and looked at a cursor, folks, and typed in all your commands and everything else to load a program or a compiler and all this other stuff off a DOS prompt, which most kids nowadays probably wouldn't even know what the heck to do with it.
Yep. And I remember how excited I was the first time I saw a Hercules graphics card.
Ooh, yes.
That was the high-end graphics.
Oh, yeah. You were burning then.
Oh, baby. That was the good one. And those were a little, they were high-quality text, very sharp text, high-quality graphics, all from the same card. They were cheaper than the Microsoft card. And so people bought a lot of them. And the first time I saw it, I thought, this isn't real. The text was so clean and the graphics were so sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
And I ran a Hercules graphics card on the Frog Pond for a number of years. I had an OS, I ran OS 2 because I could run two instances of DOS. So I could have two instances of the software of the Frog Pond BBS software and see them both on the screen at the same time, which is how good those graphics and text were in those days.
Yep.
That was unheard of. Nowadays, people are thinking, how did you chisel stuff into the monitor?
Yep.
But that's the way it worked, and we had...
It ran at an incredible 720 by 350 pixels.
Unbelievable! Yep.
And was the equivalent of $1,200.
Yes.
For the video card.
Yes, it was.
Today, yeah.
Yes, it was.
Wikipedia is wonderful. It was developed by a Thai gentleman so he could work on his doctoral thesis in the Thai alphabet that you couldn't do because it was all English text.
Right, and that was the other thing, as I remember, you could throw in alphabets. You could throw in fonts.
Yep, and have other languages.
Yeah. All right, we can at least get his question. We're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Hey, guys. Going back to your the subscription for Windows, have they verified if it's going to be for Windows 10 or if it's going to be a new version, or do they even know yet?
They have not said. Mm-hmm. They have not said.
The only vagueness they've given is the next version of Windows.
Right. Well, yeah, what they've basically said is the next version of Windows, which rumor has it they're just going to call Windows from now on.
Okay, so there's numbers. A slight inkling that it might be a whole new version. And okay.
Well, it's not going to be a new version. It has been a new version since NT.
Yeah, but they're not going to call it 10. They're just going to call it Windows.
There'll be an internal number. They might just go to the, right now we're on, 1903?
Yeah.
They might just continue with that pattern.
Right.
Okay. So we still have too much vagueness yet to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Right. And your current version of Windows will probably work fine for the next 10 years.
Right. The 10K filing that they put in is for investors, and they don't get into technical details. They get into money details.
Mm-hmm.
So the technical details are vague, if not entirely non-existent. What they focused on was the fact that Windows will be a subscription service. Office will be a subscription service, and all their other things like storage and blah, 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 blah will all be subscription services. And that all comes from things like Azure. Azure, A-Z-U-R-E, is their cloud system. You can buy a server in Azure and run your own instance of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, a monthly subscription.
That's like $7 a month, right?
Yeah, it's not expensive at all, but it is 91% of their revenue came from that.
I think everything Microsoft does right now is a subscription, except Windows.
Except Windows.
Yeah.
And Office, really, unless you're in Office 365.
Well, there is a subscription available, but you can still do the perpetual one-time fee.
Right.
And do we even know approximately when this might go into effect?
No, they're saying it'll be soon, but soon is one of those weasel words. Who knows?
General, yeah. Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, thanks. That music tells me that you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but don't go away because we're going to give you the opportunity to do it again. That's right. We're only halfway through this show. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly award-winning Jazz 90.1. Take a quick bio break. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on the truly great and award-winning Jazz 90.1. Before we get back to the phones, I do want to remind everybody, and for those of you just tuning in, where the heck have you been? On the 31st of August, just a few short weeks away, we will be having our 30th anniversary party from noon to 2 on Saturday, the 31st of August. We will be having a live, the show will, of course, be live, and we will also be hosting a party right here at the Galactic headquarters of Jazz 90.1. And we would love to see you here. We would love to have you join us. If you want to, you're welcome to, but you must RSVP. And the address to which you respond, and there's no charge. We just want to make sure we have enough cake and refreshments. So if you're going to come, please let us know ahead of time by emailing to rsvp@jazz901.org. You can see a post on our website. You can also see it at the Jazz 90.1 website. So we would love to have you join us and come on down. It would be great. But you do have to RSVP. We would prefer if you RSVP so that we have enough cake and other refreshments. And now to the phones. Our next caller is Matt from Webster, New York. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, what are you guys up to this weekend? How you doing, Nick? I just want to give you some feedback, man.
Okay.
The feedback is on the my girlfriend. She got the... She's really happy with it. She got the Chromebook Dell 11, and I thought I would use it, but I can't even get my hands on it. She takes it over all the time.
Well, good
so,
for her.
Yeah, I would advise everybody to get a Chromebook. I mean, we got a really good deal on it and stuff, you know, like that. So, so that's really good.
Excellent. And, glad to hear.
I wanted to say... the compatibility, I was worried about it, like myself, because I'm a Windows guy, right?
Sure.
So we hooked up a wireless mouse. It worked. We hooked up the Wi-Fi printer. It worked. It just works.
Yep.
It just works.
It just works.
So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with that, man, you know?
And you're a hero to your girlfriend.
But listen, I have to chime in, I have a bone to pick with you, Nick. can you let me have a bone to pick with you?
Go for it.
With the version of Windows, okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what you're telling all these people, all these guys out here. All right, I'm a beta Windows Insider program tester guy.
Sure.
I downloaded the ISO file and just signed up to join the regular Microsoft thing. I have Windows 3 on my computer. I don't pay for Windows 10. So when the people call in and ask, like, how much do you pay? I pay zero. I mean, and say you. Go ahead. I'll take the call off the line.
No, absolutely. That's how that works. When you are an insider, when you're part of the insider program, you don't pay for the software. You have to be an insider.
But you have to pay to be an insider?
Yeah, you do, but you don't pay for the software after that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And I'm glad your girlfriend likes her Chromebook, and I'm glad that you're a hero for her. I'm telling you, 99% of people don't need more than a Chromebook these days, and they'll do everything you need to do. Yes, it doesn't look quite like Windows. It looks more like a Mac, actually. And it does everything you need to do. So give it a shot. Our next caller.
Well, I say that one of the dangers of the insider program is you're getting first looks, betas.
Right.
They will crash.
They will crash.
Right. The insiders are supposed to be testing the program, looking for bugs to report them to Microsoft. So it's not something you want to run on your production machine.
Right.
Your main computer.
Right. Okay. To the phones. Our next caller is Hank. Hank, where are you calling from?
Thanks, calling from anonymous location.
Ah, an anonymous location. A bunker?
Yeah, and when I ask my question, you'll understand why.
Uh-huh.
I had someone offer me a Windows 10 computer.
Okay.
But he didn't have it. Now, I have one already, and when I set it up, I have a feeling I used a different email address than I still have. My question is, can I just start fresh with not trying to duplicate my current login for Windows, and what would there be an advantage to trying to duplicate what I have on another machine? They're not networked or anything.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If you use the same login information, you can get some of the same stuff. You can easily connect to the same storage on the Microsoft's cloud and et cetera, et cetera. But beyond that, you don't get much. It's not like you can share Windows with yourself or share Office with yourself or any of that sort of thing. Any more than, you know, if you've got one of the licenses that lets you have multiple people on it, you can share that with any other address. It doesn't have to be the same address. So, yeah, if you're looking to separate yourself from your other identity, you can do that, and it doesn't hurt to do that.
Okay, so then I guess my concern wasn't the separate, just I don't know if I could remember what I did. So if I just go in and start as a new person, yeah, then it'll...
You better remember who the administrator is and what the password is for that.
And if one of the advantages is if you created a Microsoft account, then you can reset the password at the Microsoft website. If you forget your Windows password and it's not a Microsoft account, it's a local password, it's very hard, if not impossible, to change.
And the way you remember that is because it would be your login would be somebody at Microsoft.com or one of the Outlook.com or one, you know, one of those.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you do it, and then 8 years or five, whatever many years later, then who remembers what? And so you think I should create a Microsoft account, another one?
In the long run, using a Microsoft account for Windows.
But not another one. Use the one you already have.
Well, and that's I'm not sure I remember what it was.
Well,
simple. I see my username. I type in my password. But I'm in.
Right. And so, well, then you know the password. So.
Yeah. It's just like the email address, and I don't know if that has to be the same or what.
Well, you can log into your Microsoft account and change the address in the account. If you forget your password, there is a forget password procedure in the Microsoft account. What people will often do is sometimes they do change their email address and they forget to change their Microsoft account or their Apple account, their Google account. It's better to change it change your account before you switch emails, but you can change it afterwards as long as you know the password. And if you don't know the password, there is a forgot password procedure. You don't really want to make a second account. It may not be in your case, but things you purchased under that first account are tied to that account, and you'd have to purchase them again if you got a different account.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I ever bought anything. And, you know, it's just minimal use. So.
Now, Hank, when you log in, is the username an email address or is it just a name?
I think it's just my name.
It can also it can show your name in your account and not the whole username. Yeah,
that's true.
It will usually say, what does it say somewhere? You have to go into the user's control panel to see if it's a local account or a Microsoft account.
Right.
Okay.
But it doesn't... But
anyway, you assured me that if I just go in and get it started up, it'll, you know...
It should be fine.
It'll work out if I don't... If I can't just go in the other way. So
yep,
I'm
exactly.
Good either way.
Exactly.
I don't even know if it's a laptop or a desktop. They just said, do you want this? And my wife said, yeah, we'll take it.
Sure.
So I'm going to go pick it up tomorrow.
There you go. Oh, or nice. You can always just wipe it out and put Linux on it.
Yeah, you know what? I've got like five different machines, so this will just be one more. And I don't know. I know you don't care for Windows, but that's
no.
One
if Windows makes you happy, then use Windows. That's it. I don't. I'm not. It's not a religious thing for me. I just don't like Windows, so I don't use it. If you like it, use it.
It's not a religious thing. It's a functional thing.
It's for me. It's a functional thing. Exactly.
Well, I'm a big Chromebook user. I've got a couple of those, and I still got the operating system that you say nobody should use, Windows 7, and you know. So I'm all over the place. So, anyway, guys, thank you very much, and I may be calling you next week with a follow-up question when I get work on my new machine.
All right. Thanks, Hank.
Okay.
We'll see you. Bye-bye.
All right.
I'm completely agnostic. If you want to use a Chromebook or a Linux or a Mac or Windows or Linux, or, I don't care.
It's computing.
I don't care what flavor of Linux you use. I just don't care. Just be happy. The reason I stopped using Windows is because it annoyed me, is the mild way to put it. It porked me off is closer to what I really want to say. and so I just stopped using it. But if you're happy with it and it does and you know it, clap your hands. What the heck?
Well, like I was telling you earlier when I first got here, how I had to take one of my Raspberry Pis,
yeah,
and getting into literally Unix, learning sudo commands.
Yeah, the sudo thing. Yeah, you're at the command line there. That you don't have to be, by the way. If you have a Raspberry Pi, you can run any number of operating systems on it. But if you're SSHing in or puttying in or
yeah.
You know, whatever, you end up at a command line generally.
Yeah, that's how I was, SSHing in with using putty. But it was like taking me back to the old DOS
sure.
days and talking about old computers. You know, back in the day, folks, believe it or not, when you turned on a computer, all you would see is this. Either say a green screen, a little green dots, or it was black background. It was monochrome.
Monochrome monitors. Most of them were green or amber, but they were white.
You would then put a floppy disk in, and you had to type a command to get a program to start.
Right. Right.
And this is the way, you know, learning the Unix, this is basically what I was doing, is I was at a command prompt, and I had to put in all these pseudocodes. Of course, I had a cheat sheet, which told me, here's what you got to do. But it was amazing. Once I got going through and I'm seeing all this stuff happening, it's like, wow, this is pretty powerful, like the old days of DOS, making this stuff happen. And then, boom, I had to restart, log back in, and then I had a menu. It yeah. was like an old DOS menu again.
Yep.
It was very simplistic. All, you know, literally green on background.
Yep. And you can do that, by the way. You can set the colors in your terminal program.
Yep.
And I actually, for a while, did green thing. It was kind
of
fun.
Yeah, this was green background with white lettering.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could sit there and see it pretty good. And I had to go through all these commands and setting this up and setting that up and... Wow, this is fun. You got to look into playing a little more with this.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's
you
very
can do
cool.
a lot with that, though.
You can do everything. You can do anything you want from the command line. All right, Microsoft has now joined the ranks of Apple, Amazon, and Google for having contractors who've been caught listening to some user Skype and Cortana activity, with Microsoft and those other tech companies insisting that some degree of human review is necessary to help improve the services. That may be cold comfort to users of those services who aren't necessarily aware that someone on the other end may actually be listening when they give Cortana a command or utilize Skype's translation service. This is not to imply the possibility of nefarious behavior here on the part of Microsoft, with the company adding that the recordings aren't user identifiable, but still. This new revelation comes after a similar report found the contractors for Amazon, Google, and Apple were doing the same thing, with all of them now letting users opt out of human review of your voice recordings, at least for now. No one should overreact to this news by assuming voice recordings in which you're easily identifiable end up in the hands of contractors for these companies. Along the same lines, human review of such activity is to be expected, given that systems behind these voice input technologies still aren't completely perfect. Nevertheless, some degree of feeling unsettled may be justified. One of Microsoft's contractors, for example, said that I generally feel that while we do not have access to user-identifiable information, and Microsoft users were aware that there were random people sitting at home in their pajamas who could be joking online with friends about the stuff they just heard, they wouldn't like that. Here's what a Microsoft spokes individual said about the news. We strive to be transparent about our collection and use of voice data to ensure customers can make informed choices about when and how their voice data are used. Microsoft gets customers' permission before collecting and using their voice data. So, yes, you gave them your permission. It remains to be seen if Microsoft will take any action here, such as adding an opt-in element or scrapping it entirely. In its documentation for both Skype and Cortana, the company does hint, but doesn't say outright, that recordings and activity are analyzed in order to build more performant services. So if you haven't moved to a cave in the Qumran Hills yet, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Look, everybody's listening in. Get over it.
Yeah, really.
You know. It's interesting because there's all these conspiracy theories about those devices are listening to me because I mentioned something in the car, and then at home on my computer, I get ads for that thing I mentioned. Well, now that it turns out they are listening to you and you're surprised,
right.
You thought they were.
sadly, the tinfoil hat isn't going to help you because it's your voice that's doing all of this. You know, at least on my computer at home, I'm on Linux. Nobody's listening to anything. If I open up a Google, if I go to google.com on my browser, I have to click the microphone in order for it to start listening to me. But if you've got a Google Home or an Amazon Echo or your phone, depending, it doesn't matter if it's Siri or it's Google or whatever it is. If you've got a Fire tablet, it's listening. If you've got Windows, Cortana's listening. Everybody's listening all the time. Just don't. Everybody needs to learn sign language and cover your cameras with tape and never speak again.
Steve Gibson talks about that on the security show, is that there are so many ways to eavesdrop on you now. The only way to have a private conversation is in the middle of an empty field, naked, with sheets over your head, so the satellites can't read your lips.
And even then, you're best off signing.
Yeah.
Because then people can't see you if you're under the blanket.
Yeah, that telescope on the next mountain, watching you, too. Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, if you're signing,
right,
they could still read you.
No, I'm saying under the blanket.
Under the blanket.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you're under the blanket. Yeah, I've been in restaurants where there are hearing impaired people, and they're talking to each other, and I suddenly realize I'm eavesdropping. I need to stop doing this. But
when you laugh at the joke they told, and they glare at you.
And you sign back. Good one.
Yeah. Good one. I don't. My sign language is horribly, 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 horribly rusty.
Are you gonna be bold?
And of course, with the arthritis, I can't even do
letters.
The letters
finger
anymore
spelling.
Hurts.
We were at a convention once, and they had signers for the guests, one of the guests started saying really difficult words to see what the signer could do with it. And then the signer turns around and glares back at them as they're spelling out a 20-syllable word.
The funniest thing I ever saw in my life was, God bless my friend Brian, took me to see Red Skelton on stage. And they had a signer who sat on the side with on a stool signing. And next to her, he had a table with water on it. And at one point, he walks over and he says, "Excuse me a minute," takes a drink and says, "All this talk is thirsty work." Looks at the woman and goes, "Want to wash your hands?"
That's cool.
That was kind of the funniest thing. they're listening. Everybody's listening. All the time now.
Well, not only listening, but watching you.
Well,
I mean,
that's
you
exactly
can
right.
You can go, driving down the street and all that other stuff now with these surveillance cameras that are all over the place. They can track where you're going.
That's right. And it's not just your phone and your television. It's your watch. If your watch has a microphone in it, so that you can quite easily, while you're driving along, send a text. Mm-hmm. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. It's listening, so you can be heard. If you've got Bluetooth in your car, it's listening all the time. Just get over it.
And there's a weak, I don't know if weakness is the right word, the new Bluetooth low energy spec that makes pairing easier between your devices.
Right.
Also makes eavesdropping with other devices easier, too. But right. I've set all my devices to not activate unless I have physically clicked the button, except my phone I'll use for texting in the car, but only when it's open, because it knows when my case is closed, and so it won't activate even then.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah. A prime example is that one murder where that kid wound up off to school, and they saw him, he got on the throughway, got home just enough time, wound up, I think, murdering his dad, and they timed it, and they wound up going through different footage.
Yeah.
And even the going through the toll booth, even though he put the thing down on the floor so it wouldn't register, they still had the cameras there seeing it coming through mm-hmm. the toll booth.
Yep.
Then there was the hot tub murder that they used the smart water meter that showed that the hot tub was emptied and refilled at 3 a.m.
Yep.
And they got the Amazon recordings, hoping that the victim said, "Bill, stop killing me."
right.
to try to identify it. So our smart devices, the smart water heater knows when you use too much hot water. The smart thermostat knows when there's people in the house because it will raise and lower the temperature. Our devices are already tattling on us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's called the Internet of Things, the IoT. And those things are all connected nowadays. They're all on the Internet.
And they're all made with the cheapest components they can find and
exactly.
have no security.
And they have no security. And yep. so most of the break-ins these days are through things like your smart refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, or your thermostat, or your one. There was a story about a water heater. The guy's water heater allowed someone into the network, and that's how that happened. And you can get, people are buying these cheap $20 cameras.
Well, the Wyze camera, WYZE, $20, and Wyze company is doing it right. It's encrypted, it's hashed, it's salted, the security's good, and it's still only a $20 camera. So
right.
it means that all the other companies could do the same thing and still make money with a $20 camera.
But they don't. Most of those $20 cameras are wide open to anybody yep. who wants to talk to them. Wyze is doing a good thing and a good job at it. It does audio. You can stick one in your window and watch traffic
for
who
movement.
Comes to your
yep.
door. And for $20, are you kidding? Yes, all day long. Thank you very
mm-hmm.
much.
Yeah.
For $20.
Silly not to.
I just have to figure out a way to get the cats to stop knocking it down.
Oh, here's a neat one that plugs into a wall outlet.
Yeah.
So you stick a camera wherever you might have a wall outlet.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I need one on a cord because I'm, like I said, I've got it looking out my window. But yeah. So you can put them anywhere and they'll broadcast the signal, and so you can then find it on any browser
yep.
as long as you know the address and watch what goes on in your house. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. It's member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
Still.
Finishing up heading into our 30th anniversary show, finishing up our 30th year on the air for 30 years. You're old. You are old, mister.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Well, I keep telling you, I'm older than dirt. I invented dirt.
It's a good invention, really.
Thank you.
I liked it better when I was a kid than I do now, but it was still a good invention.
I told you not to eat it.
Well, at the time, it seemed like a good idea.
I know, you didn't
idea.
Listen to me. Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of batteries and phones, if your new iPhone needs a new battery anytime soon, you may not want to bother replacing it yourself or heading to your local third-party shop. Thanks to a change on Apple's part, you'll be basically left with a permanent warning message if you do. Replacing a battery in the iPhone XR, XS, or XS Max, I hate those names.
Yeah.
By the way,
we're wondering if they're going to go Roman numeral 11, so IX, or Arabic 11, 1-1.
Right. like only Super Bowl 50 was Arabic numerals.
Because they wouldn't go.
They didn't want to just say L, Super Bowl L. Because apparently they assume everybody who watches football is an idiot and can't figure out it's a Roman numeral.
But for 51, did they do L1?
Yes. Only the 50th, only Super Bowl 50 was a number. Anyway, replacing a battery in the iPhone, blah, 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 generates a service message, and it's only the XR, XS, or XS Max, generates a service message saying the phone is unable to verify this iPhone has a genuine Apple battery. The phone will also not display any battery health readings. The change is due to the chip on the battery itself. In addition to being able to relay information about battery cycles and temperature to the phone, the chips on the newer iPhone models also have an authentication feature for pairing with a specific phone. The issue persists even if you use a genuine authorized Apple battery. The only way to make the service message go away, take the phone to an Apple store or Apple authorized service center where they can flip whatever software switch needs to be reset. iFixit, a website that teaches people how to fix almost anything, I should say almost everything, calls Apple's latest step to lock you into its ecosystem a user hostile choice, but the move is not isolated. Apple has made several previous moves to block third-party or home repairs on iPhones, from the Error 53 bricking issue that hit owners of repaired iPhone 6 and 6S devices, to issues plaguing iPhone 8 and 10 replacement screens. Apple is not alone on this front either. Consumer goods from phones to tractors increasingly require direct manufacturer intervention to fix. Whether the issue is a copyright claim on software or a hardware restriction like Apple's, the outcome is the same. Product owners spend more money and have fewer options. The right to repair movement pushes for legislation and regulation that requires first-party firms to make service manuals, diagnostic tools, and parts available to consumers and repair shops. Various governments around the world are taking a look at right to repair as part of a larger investigation of competition and antitrust issues in big tech. But for now, right to repair legislation at either the federal or state level has yet to become the norm. Apple has a track record of opposing right to repair laws. The company frames it as a matter of consumer trust rather than revenue. We want to make sure our customers always have confidence their products will be repaired safely and correctly and in a way that supports recycling, Apple said this week. How do you feel about right to repair? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
It's an interesting situation we find ourselves in because we are an Apple authorized repair center. And so it used to be a special hardware box you had to buy. Now it's software. So we can do, you know, legitimate battery replacements. But we often get devices in where people tried to fix them themselves, or they had the kiosk in the mall try to fix them, and broke things and made them worse. And then they're mad at us and Apple that they have to pay to repair it because they already paid to repair it. But it didn't get repaired. They broke it worse. You shouldn't have paid them.
Right.
But the one of the big things that the right to repair is does want is service manuals. And so what iFixit does, they're well known for their tear aparts, where they tear things apart, find all the components. They started X-raying chips to see what's in them. It's pretty cool. And for people that do want to do their own repairing, they should have the option. The problem is, there's some interesting things that companies have done. Because it's a service manual written by that company, it's copyright. So if you post the service manual, you get, you know, cease and desist letters.
Right.
They've apparently got the Customs and Border Protection in on it. So trying to import service parts that aren't somehow they're able to tell they're not legitimate service parts by the manufacturer. So they're blocking the import that way. And it's interesting that the car industry kind of went through this thing years ago where, you know, if you wanted parts for your Ford car, you had to buy them from Ford, and there were lawsuits, and now you can buy parts pretty much anywhere for any car. And there's a whole thriving auto repair industry.
Right.
And the people that want to repair their cars do, and the people that don't want to don't have to.
Right.
And so that's it's an interesting argument on both sides. The other problem is as soon as one state, so the repair.org the repair association is trying to push for this, and as soon as one state does it, then it'll probably happen everywhere, because companies aren't going to have one policy for one state different from other states.
Right.
So they're trying to just get ones, and New York is one of the states where they're lobbying really hard in to get one state to pass it.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom from Brighton, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
Yeah, I've got one of those annoying problems where probably some malware is responsible for it. So I keep getting this pop-up saying your McAfee subscription has expired. And I went through Malwarebytes to try to get rid of it. That hasn't done anything. In the pop-up, there's a text in there in addition to the bogus message. It says cloud1.pw. I don't know if that means anything. I did a Google search on it, couldn't find anything for it. I think it's slowing down the computer because it is acting rather slowly. And even when I close it, it keeps popping back up again. So there's clearly something nefarious going on.
Well, it certainly does sound that way, doesn't it? .pl.
.ps, I believe.
.ps? Yeah, yes. PL is Poland.
Oh.
Okay. PS is Palestine.
Great.
Basically just the West Bank and the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
That's clearly sounds like a non-real... Oh, you said PW before.
Yeah, it might have been one of the others. I can't...
PW is Palau, which actually makes more sense. Mm-hmm. In terms of that stuff, but whatever it is, doesn't matter. The point is, it does sound like a virus. Are you using McAfee?
Well, I use McAfee. Yes, I do, and I run it. And I also run Avast. These are paid subscriptions, so I run them fairly regularly. I also run Super Anti Spyware, the premium editions.
You may need to run them in safe mode, or even try one of the rootkit removers. I know McAfee has one too. We've got some listed on our Security Tango webpage.
Right.
Sometimes they get buried in there so deeply that they can't be removed while you're running the OS. And that, then oftentimes that becomes the last straw, is you've got to pull the hard drive out of that computer or boot with a different drive so you can scan that drive when it's not the active Windows.
Right, and that's why many people bring their stuff to a reputable dealer, because they find that an easier way to do that.
What a pain.
it is a pain, and I'm sorry it's happened to you, but one thing you might do is turn off McAfee and scan your system with a different...
when you say turn off McAfee, I don't run McAfee. I thought
you said you do.
No, I do not. I run, Malwarebytes, Super Anti-Spyware, and Avast. This McAfee pop-up is coming from, some... Malware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you don't run McAfee at all, then yeah. What antivirus are you running?
Avast.
Avast is good. Avast is good. Mm-hmm. You might. You might want to try. Panda used to have an online cleanup system that you could run.
What's the name of that?
Panda.
Panda.
At pandasecurity.com. Mm-hmm. They used to have a free online...
Trend Micro has one.
Cleanup, yeah. You might try any one of the free online ones and see if it catches anything. But I think Steve is right. It is more likely that you have a rootkit. And taking it... doing it yourself the way the Tango says to do it, or... taking it to, if that works, you win. If it doesn't, you're still going to need to take it to a reputable dealer to have them pull the drive and run it on a different machine.
Yeah, I'll try the Tango approach first.
Yeah, of course.
Necessary, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. Good, hope to see you at the party.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. And we hope to see all of you at the party. For those of you who turned in late... we've been on the air for dang near 30 years now, and on the 31st of August, that Saturday, from noon to 2, we'll be having a party here during the live broadcast of Soundbites, and we would love to have you join us. But if you're going to do it, we need to you to let us know you're going to do it. And it's free, but we just want to know how many people are coming so we can buy enough cake and refreshments.
We need a head count.
We need a head count. So send an email to rsvp@jazz901.org to let us know you're coming. And we'd really love to see you here. We'd love to see just everybody here. Let's pack this place to the point where people can't even get in the door. We would love to have that, but the
let's,
only way
that's
going to
happen. Let's not get the fire marshal involved.
Maybe
well,
not.
Well, he can come too.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, so we would love to have you come down and join us. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you actually RSVP. Well, you can come down anyway, but then you're shorting everybody else. So if you are RSVP, we'll have enough refreshments and cake for you as well as everybody else. And we would love to see you here for that. 30 years on the air, and it's great of the station to be putting on a little party for us. We're very excited about that. So please feel free to come and join us. We would love, love to see you on the 31st. Should be a fun event.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's, you know, we'll be spending some of that time on the air, of course, but
yeah,
that's the way that works. But we'd love to see you. And if you've been any one of the people who we've had on the air over all that time, we'd love to have you come down, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
even from the old shows, Paul Casarino and
all those people,
the
everybody.
Digital Gems, and
yes,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
he was great. That's right, Paul's Gems was
drove by his shop the other day.
Yeah,
and Jerry Seward,
great stuff. Jerry, of course, and just everybody. The days the days Paul ran a BBS as well, and his was all about software. And he would come in once a month and talk about the latest freeware and stuff.
Software,
he'd call it his gems. And of course, he is a gemologist, nationally known gemologist, internationally known gemologist. So that was kind of a pun that most people didn't get, but they were his gems, and he would talk about the latest software. Of course, nowadays, people are just downloading everything from the internet anyway. So
remember, you used to have all those hard drives.
Floppies. Boxes of floppies. Boxes. That was our software library.
Yeah. But then he upgraded to
the tower.
The tower full of all those CD drives that you could log in. And if it wasn't there, he'd put in a CD you could request. Give him 24 hours, he'd put that CD in so you could go to that particular drive on the server there and grab the software.
He had a dozen or more
stacked CDs.
Towers. And so you could get to drive P. Mm-hmm. On his machine. But it wasn't just drive P. It was, you know, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, all the way up to P.
Yeah. That probably made sense. 26 letters in the alphabet. No one's going to have more than 26 drives mounted.
Right. Whereas with Linux, it's all just folders, and so it's easy to do. But we'd love to have all the FidoNet people come down, talk about their stuff. We'd love to have you, and the only way that's going to happen is if you decide to come on the 31st. And if you do decide to come on the 31st, please RSVP@jazz901.org.
And like we said, even Francis.
We'd love to have Francis. Love to have Francis. We'd love to have people who have been listening to the show for many, many decades. And
I put a poll up, a Google poll on the it's on the Soundbites front page if you want to. That's the wrong button. Go there, and you can.
For how many years?
For how many years you've listened to the show?
Yeah. That's
remember we had that
up a few times.
We had this one couple. They had a little boy. You know, they showed up
at
one of our things, and he was just a little infant. And then I think it was maybe about 10 years later. They showed up at another thing that we were doing, and here this kid is grown up. It's like, whoa!
Maybe he'll show up with his kids now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where it's going. It's now, is he going to show up with his kid?
Yeah.
And the grandparents?
Right,
yeah, remember
exactly.
When he was just a little this age?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we've just had some great people listening over the years, and we would love to have you folks come down and renew the face-to-face acquaintance. You know, you've been listening all these years, but we'd love to get that face-to-face acquaintance back up. And the only way that's going to happen is if you show up on the 31st. It's the 31st of August from noon to 2 during the show. And we'll obviously be around for a little bit afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
excuse me, I had a sinus infection earlier this week, and it's not entirely gone. But if you show up, we'll have cake and other refreshments, and we'll be enjoying having fun and reminiscing about 30 years. Come and tell us about your first computer.
Yeah.
Get on the Soundbites forum and tell us about your first computer. We'd love to know what it is.
Yeah,
it
brings back the old days. You know, like we were reminiscing just a little while ago about, you know, the monochrome screens and the floppy drives and installing memory and all that. I'm sure you folks have great memories too. You know, come on down and share them. That's what this show has always been about, is sharing information.
Yep.
We don't claim to know it all, but we've got a pretty good handle on it, and we've been able to help you folks now for coming 30 years. But, you know, there's other stuff that we've said, oh, that was good, because you shared your tips with us and the whole audience that, you know, everybody learns. And that's what this has always been about, because from day one, I've always said, the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. Because nobody can learn unless you ask questions.
Right.
And that's what the show's been about, is people asking questions, and everybody else is learning from it too. You know, that would be helpful.
And you may not have that problem now, but in the future when you do, you vaguely remember you heard about it on the show.
Yeah, right, exactly. I will say my first computer was a Cosmac VIP without the case. By the way, it was just a single board computer with a video chip and everything, and a hex keypad. And you entered programs using the hex keypad. It was a pretty cool little computer. It used a Cosmac. It was essentially a Cosmac Elf. And it had a whopping 2K of RAM. It could be expanded to 4K. On the board, but I didn't have one of those. Anyway, next week, give us a call about your favorite and first computer. But we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. As we close out our 30th year on the air, we want to thank everybody who called in today and every time. And don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music we'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow, and we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported, award-winning Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to each other.